ಓಂ ಶುಕ್ಲಾಂಬರಧರಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಶಶಿವರ್ಣಂ ಚತುರ್ಭುಜಂ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನವರ್ಣಂ ಧ್ಯಾಯೇ ಸರ್ವವಿಘ್ನೋಪಶಾಂತಯೇ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ನಮಸ್ತುಭ್ಯಂ ವರದೇ ಕಾಮರೂಪಿಣೀ ವಿದ್ಯಾರಂಭಂ ಕರಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಿರ್ಭವತು ಮೇ ಸದಾ. ಯೇನಾಕ್ಷರ ಸಮಾಮ್ನಾಯಂ ಅಧಿಗಮ್ಯ ಮಹೇಶ್ವರಾತ್ ಕೃತ್ಸ್ನಂ ವ್ಯಾಕರಣಂ ಪ್ರೋಕ್ತಂ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಪಾಣಿನಿಯೇ ನಮಃ. ವಾಕ್ಯಕಾರಂ ವರರುಚಿಂ ಭಾಷ್ಯಕಾರಂ ಪತಂಜಲಿಂ ಪಾಣಿನಿಂ ಸೂತ್ರಕಾರಂ ಚ ಪ್ರಣತೋಸ್ಮಿ ಮುನಿತ್ರಯಂ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ
ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
It's the these are prayers that are usually chanted before the Panini Sutras. In the first class we went through, it's online, we went through and gave the meaning to this. So it's beautiful meaning actually. I'm going to do two things today. I'm going to introduce the first few Panini Sutras, which I think will be interesting for everybody. Not that hard to follow. If you can't follow the Sanskrit, you can hear me say it and use the English translation. The English translation will tell you what you need to know, but I'll also go through this slowly. It's going to just give you some definitions. So these aren't actual... They're called Paribhasha Sutras. I talked about that last week. Paribhasha Sutras are explanatory sutras. They actually tell you how to read the sutras and what kind of terms are going to be used. And so just for some information before I start teaching the Sunday rules, because I want to spend a lot of time today just on going over Sunday, especially for some of the newer people. So this class is meant for new people and a review for the people who have been studying Sanskrit for some time. But I think all of you would enjoy learning this, okay? So, does everybody have this, the first one here? Yeah. The first sutra. Remember, in India, just in the tradition, there's always something prayerful about the first sutra, right? And that's... So, in this sutra also, he starts the sutra with the word vriddhi. Vriddhi is like Brahman, it means the increase, that which grows, that which becomes big, is the meaning of the word vriddhi. And so, many of you have heard the terms guna vriddhi, right? Simple vowels, and then guna, and then vriddhi. The word vriddhi should come after the word guna. But Panini wants to start the whole sutras with the word vriddhi. So vriddhi comes first. So let's remember, let me tell you the meaning of this sutra, and then these first two sutras, or three sutras, and then we're going to look at the guna vriddhi chart and remember it, okay? So the first sutra, if I write it here, it's... vriddhi... Ra Daich. Vriddhi Ra Daich. That breaks down, if I were to do the Sunday, into... And some of you don't know all of these Sundays, don't worry about it. I'm going to translate all this for you. And so for those of you who do know the Sunday, I'm going to go over it. And then for those of you that don't know the Sunday, you'll be learning it as we go through it, okay? Vriddhi Ot Aich. Here, the Visarga, right? Any vowel except R, off, followed by a vowel, changes to R. So, vriddhihi. Then, ot, this takara, when it's followed by another vowel, becomes da. You see that? A hard consonant that's followed by a vowel will change to the soft consonant, which would be da. So the sutra, if I were to break it down into what we call the padani. Padani means the words. So if you look at this, for those of you who can read this, padani, you see how it says vriddhi ra daich, 111. padani vriddhihi at aich. It breaks this sutra into the individual words. Thanks. Vriddhi at aich. Okay? So now we've broken this into the words. What does it mean? It means that, a couple of things to remember. If a word is marked by the letter ta, it means that we're only talking about this word, this length, right? You have the possibility of having a, or you know, like this, pluta. You have three lengths. This pluta, this last length, is something that's only used in chanting. So we're really only interested in and ah. Okay? If I were to go like, if I don't put a ta there, every length is included. If I were to just say without the ta, every length, this would count as and ah. But if I were to say ut and put a ta there, it just means the short of. If I were to take an ah and put a ta there, it just means the long ah. So this letter ta is an it letter. It's an it letter that has a special meaning when you see it. Right? That's what it letters do, or anubandhas. They give a special meaning. Okay? So here we have, this is vriddhihi at aich. It means the vriddhi letters are a and aich. Aich is a pratyahara. We didn't do the pratyaharas.
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Ready? Do the pratyaharas?
What are we going to do?
Pratyaharas. For Edward, Peter, and Lisa, you just follow what you can. There'll be some very useful stuff for you, okay? Because there's such a wide range here, so I want to bring everybody together. So, vriddhihi, a, and aich. This is a pratyahara. Let's say the pratyaharas together. A I un rum lek eong I ouch hayavarat lan nyamanganam chamang gagadash jabagadash kapatata chatata kapai shasasar hal. Yeti Maheshwarani Sutrani. What we just did, and this is something actually for you guys, I'd like to have you actually learn these. It's really a fun thing. It's the way that Panini puts the alphabet into a certain order. I'll teach you that later. Okay? But here, if we have this pratyahara, aich, what does it stand for? Aich.
I and
owl. Aich means I and owl. So what does the sutra say? Vriddhi, the vriddhi letters are a, because of the ta, tells you it's long a, I and owl. So if you look at the translation, a, I, and owl are called vriddhi. That's the name for these three letters. The a, I, and owl are called vriddhi. Okay? That's just, you have to memorize it. These are vriddhi letters. Simple. There's nothing more to it. Vriddhi means at and aich. At stands for long a, and aich stands for I and ow. Okay? That's all that sutra says. What's everybody loves about the sutra is that Panini decided to start with this sutra because of the word vriddhi, which means increase, prosperity, and makes you think of Brahman, because the root of the root Brahman is Bhra, which means to increase. Right? Mm-hmm. So, now you know the sutra for vriddhi. Now we're going to look at the sutra for guna, and then we'll look at the guna vriddhi chart. Okay? That's in English. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the next sutra. This is his second sutra. Adeng. Gunaha. Now he's defined the second sutra, the whole Panini sutras. The second sutra defines guna. Do you see? So in the number two, again, gunaha, padani. At ang gunaham. Gunaha.
I got a typo.
It should be at ang. If I do the padani, you have to correct that. At ang gunaha. Okay? Anybody correct that? Just say at ang gunaha. At. Sorry. You all have to watch me carefully. Yeah. I make typos. Yeah, I make typos consistently. So at ang gunaha. Okay, let's look at this. Do you see this takara here? When you see the takara, takara means the letter ta, right? At, what does it tell you? You see a takara?
Just the short a.
Just the short a. So that's one guna letter. What is ang? Ang is a pratyahara.
It's a guna
ayong.
Ayong.
Ayong. Ayong. Ayouch. Okay? Ang. So, ang stands for A and O. Pratyahara for A and O. A, A, O. Vriddhi, Ra, Daich. The Vriddhi letters are A, and Aich would be I, Au. Ad, At, Ang, Gunaha. The Guna letters are A and A, O. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So when it says padani, that just is, means everything after that is breaking asunder?
And that's just a convention that this particular Vasu, who has an English translation of the Ashtadhyayi, the Ashtadhyayi means the whole Panini Sutras, he has a certain, what do you call, template that he's using, format that he's using, and that is to tell the, just as I have it here, I copied it directly. You give the sutra, then you give the sutra number, would be one is the first chapter, the first section, the first verse. See how it says 111? First chap, first pada. I go like this. The first pada means the first, I think there's four padas. The first, like the section, the first chapter of that section, and then the first verse. So 111. The next one is 112. Then 113. Then I skipped some for just some other definitions. So, everybody see this so far? I'm going to give one more because it deals directly with guna and vritti. We'll do the third one and then we'll look at the guna vritti chart. Iko guna Iko guna vritti. Okay? Pratyahara. Guna, this is a dwandhva compound, says guna vriddhi. Iko guna vriddhi. Okay? Vriddhi. This says for the pratyahara ik. This is in the sixth case. Genitive. And it means for the pratyahara ik, which we'll see in a minute, there is guna and vriddhi. Do you say guna vriddhi? This is a compound. It's called a dwandhva compound, where it would be guna and vriddhi. Putting the dual, it's putting dual in the vriddhi, in the putting vriddhi in the dual, so it means for ik there is guna and vriddhi. So now it's telling you where do we apply these terms, guna and vriddhi? It's for ik letters. What are ik letters? Pratyahara.
Ik is
a e un rela. Okay, so simple vowels. Short or long? Short and long. There's no takara there. So any length of a, e. Sorry. That's another sutra. Thank you.
Okay.
That's ik. There's no takara. Right? And so that means any length of e. Doesn't make any difference. So it says, four ik letters, Gunavriddhi. Now, what this really means is that in the sutras, when we see, even though we'll see when we do the chart, there's and ah included, but when Panini uses the term guna and vriddhi in a sutra, then he's going to be referring to a change that will take place on an ik letter. The ik letter is any length, e, u, ra, ra. So look at the English here, which is directly from Vasu. I'm not translating myself, I'm just copying him, okay? In the absence of any special, this is number three, in the absence of any special rule, whenever guna or vriddhi is enjoined about any expression, means in any sutra, okay, about any expression, by using the terms guna vriddhi, it is to be understood to come in the room of the ik vowels only, right? And what it means, it's only referring to the ik vowels, long and short, of that expression. So what we're saying is that if in a sutra, in any sutra, if you see the word guna and vriddhi written in the sutra, that term is only going to be relating to an ik vowel. Mm. In the sutras, it won't be relating to in terms of this sutra. Right, it's not going to be relating to a. There'll be a special sutra for an exception. But if he says, if guna, remember this, he says he's including an ah.
Right.
This sutra, which is saying the technical use of guna and vriddhi
mm-hmm.
in the sutras are only going to be referring to these letters. There can be an exception, but that exception will be another sutra. Okay? Now I want to.
What about this convention? It is to be understood to come in the room.
That's not my language. It means come in the place of, right?
That's cute.
Yeah. So let's look at the guna vriddhi chart, and that's what I want to relate this to. Is everybody okay for that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to write the guna vriddhi chart. It's in one of the old handouts. I didn't have time to find it, but you don't need it. I'm going to do this. Up here we're going to have guna and vriddhi. Guna, vriddhi. Okay? And here in this column we're going to have simple vowels. What are the simple vowels? If I did the pratyahara, ik. What's the pratyahara for the gunas? Go. Simple vowels, the pratyahara is it. Guna. Vriddhi. Aich. The simple vowels that we're going to be working with.
So it's it and not up in the simple vowels.
I'm going to put uk, but in reference to the sutra,
yes.
It's uk, but we'll put uk here, that's good. Just so that you understand what actually are the guna vriddhi letters. So we're going to say, now this is the chart that's not so related to the sutra, it's related to the sutras, but I'm not going to use pratyaharas here, I'm just putting these pratyaharas up so that you become agile.
Mm.
I want you to become agile in the sutras, okay? So we'll, but first we're going to do it without pratyaharas. If I say, what is the guna letter of what's the guna letter? This has to be memorized, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the vriddhi letter of Okay. So this line is not, it's in the first two sutras, vriddhi ra daich and a dang guna, huh? The first two sutras that I gave. But it's not included in Iko Guna Vriddhi, right? But we're including it to make the chart complete. E. What is the guna of E?
No, A.
A. A. What is the vriddhi?
I.
U. What's the guna of U? Oh. Vriddhi.
Yeah.
Ah. Now we're going beyond these sutras in the sense of it's not going to be included at a given letter here. You'll have to have other sutras for that.
Okay. What was the name of it? Pronounce it again.
Don't
stress. Good.
Just do your best. Mine's okay. Not that good. It's like a ra sound. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now, notice we've used all of the diphthongs, all of the letters mm-hmm. that we have. So what we do here for the vriddhi, for the guna, is what? Anybody remember? Adar. 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 Okay. And then we have ur. L. Sorry. I learned this as l. There's no L sound there. It should be, according to Swami Brahma Prakashananda. So you're going to hear people put that kind of a limit, and a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But she says that no. It should be ill. I've done the bruh mm-hmm. so often that I have to break the pattern there. So what would the guna be? And vriddhi? Okay. Now, the thing that is to be noted here, the first two sutras in the whole Panini Sutras deal with guna vriddhi. And remember I've taught this before in the Sanskrit, I always make you memorize the guna vriddhi chart. Because the guna vriddhi are so instrumental in word formation. Whether you're forming a verb or forming a noun off of a dhatu, a verbal root, the guna vriddhi almost invariably comes in. Like, for instance, whenever they, in Panini, if they have a suffix or affix, they'll have an it letter on that affix that's going to be added on to a word. And I don't know all of those just offhand because I don't know Panini that well, but we'll just take my word for this, it's true. If there's an affix, it will have an it letter added on to the affix that will tell you whether or not that affix takes guna or vriddhi or nothing, right? And because in the word formation, does everybody kind of have this down? I'm going to erase it now. Okay. And we're just to talk about this a little bit. If you have what's called a dhatu, a verbal root, like bud, you have a dhatu, a verbal root, I can make verbs and nouns and participles, parts of speech, off of this verbal root, bud. It's called a dhatu. That means the dhatu is a, it means root. If you say verbal root, it's misleading, that even though it's often, dhatu is often translated as verbal root. It's misleading because then you only think of verbs. Hmm. But actually, these dhatus go into the formation of verbs and nouns and participles. Okay? Right? So you see how this is an oop?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a rule in forming the present tense that says the penultimate vowel takes guna when you form the present tense. So you would have a form like this. Bo, the guna, so you have to know the guna of u is o. So you would have, for instance, bodhati. Right? But if I were to form a past participle off of this, the root, past participle root, happens to be called, this one I know, ikta. Ka plus ta is ikta. That ka is an it letter, and it tells me no guna or vriddhi. Just that ka is an it letter. You'll learn all of that, but just all I want you to know is that if I form a past passive participle, I'm going to be adding the affix ta, and that becomes buddha. It goes through this ta, goes through a bunch of changes to become buddha. But what I want you to see is that this u doesn't take guna, right? Because when I learn this, that this is the affix, as soon as I see the ka, because that's no guna or vritti.
Okay, so anytime we see a ka, will that be true, or is it only in certain applications that the ka is indicating that?
If it's hooked onto a prete, onto an affix, then it will be indicating that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So it's consistent.
Yeah, it's really consistent. And then, if there's an exception that comes along, they'll have a sutra that restricts that. But for the most part, it's consistent all the way through. And it's one. In fact, the sutra that exists introduces this as one of the initial sutras. But now I'm not so interested in that. It's for you to recognize this. There's also another type of word called a tadita affix that is something that's formed off of a noun itself, and it requires vriddhi. Bauda. Bauda. But you see, here's an U, here's an O, here's the root bud, here's bodhati, buddha, bauda. So what you need to do, what you need to learn, you always need to think of this as a family. You know, that U, U, O, and Ao are family, right? And so why that's important is because if you know this is a family, when you see this, an owl, you can go back to the simple vowel. Take that owl back to oo, right? Take the O back to oo. Because you know what? When you look up this in a dictionary, you know what it's going to come under? Bud. In the dictionary, they'll have the root, the dhatu, bud, and underneath bud, you don't have to go all the way to O. They'll say bud, bode. Right? They'll be like this. In the dictionary, it'll be like this. Bud. There's the root. It'll tell you the root. And then it'll give, in brackets, it'll say bodhati, which means the first person singular, like that, and some other forms. So you would have to look this up in the dictionary. You have to take this back to its simple vowel. So you have to memorize this family, u, o, l. See what I'm saying? That's why it's so essential. The whole grammar is based on it. Also, if I were to say a noun, bodha, this is a noun. Bodha means knowledge. It's a masculine noun, bodha. Right? Or I could say bodhana is a gerund. I'm asking, this means knowing, bodhanam. Bodhanam. It's a gerund. This is neuter, this is masculine. So this means knowledge. Bodhana means knowing. Yeah. If I say, knowing I'll use the word studying. His studying this is important. Your knowing this is important. I'm using that as a gerund, right? It's used as a noun in the sentence. Okay, so these are just examples. All I want you to see is that family, and understand why that's so very important, okay? It's the same with E and U. If I have an E, if I see a letter with E, you should think of it in terms, this is a family, E-A-R. You see, you have to always be able to break these down into the back to the simple vowel.
Where does that information come from? I mean, how do we know that's a family?
When you're reading, you're going to see so many words, right? And say you want to know what the root of that word is. There's a consistency that if the word, trying to think of what's a word that has a penultimate E, or I know, G, like G. G means to conquer. Here's a long name. It's the me to lead. This will become nay or nai in usage. And so it's the way the whole language is set up. And so if you see words that have an E in it, and or an A in it, or an I in it, you can always break it down to its simple vowel, and that will usually be the root of the word. And so how you know is that that's how the language is set up. That's how the language is. Or maybe I don't quite understand your question.
Well, does it have something to do with the way the chart is set up, the alphabet chart?
Oh, well, let me show you something else about that. Why is it a family? If I take E and P, A and I, this is a diphthong, these two. This letter, the components are A and E. The components of this one are A and E. Okay? So that's why it's a family. See, if I say U, take U, the components U, now we've got O and Ao. These two diphthongs. Diphthong means it's two simple vowels, two components are what are responsible for forming that letter. Here, for a diphthong, A plus U for the guna letter. A plus U. That's why. So now, I want just to elaborate on this.
It's actually A plus E, not O plus E.
A plus
and
E.
Not plus O plus
no.
U.
Listen, I'll show you how to tell. No, it's A plus E and A plus E.
Oh, I have
to. Now, look.
Okay.
With the length of the E, does it make any difference? Okay. You could be E, E, it doesn't matter. Here, but this does matter.
Okay.
Now say this, and just feel it inside, okay? E, A, I.
E, A, I.
Do you feel the growth? E, A, I.
Yeah.
You see? It sounds like a family, right? E, A plus E, A plus E. E, A, I. Okay? Now try ooh, same thing. Ooh, O, ow. Ooh-oh-ow. Ooh-oh-ow.
Do that slow down thing. That's helpful. Like going,
ay.
Is it really
good? Ay. Ay. Right? You see that, Peter? You get that?
Yeah.
So you've got E. E. Ay. 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 Ooh. Oh.
Yeah, it's nice.
No, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
So now understanding that, let's look at the other two. The R. They say don't bother not at pronunciation. Just R. 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 No, always go to Kiki.
No.
R. Now look at A plus R, Sunday. This is a Sandhi. If I have two vowels in Sanskrit, it can't come together. So if you have A plus R, the Sandhi is, this R is replaced by the Repha. This is the, Repha is the name for the R. So A plus R becomes R. A plus R, so this is made of A plus R, and the R is replaced by the Repha, by the letter R, the consonant R. And then if you have the same A plus R replaced by the R is replaced by R. So then now say these. R, R, R. R, 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 R. Same growth. It's the same thing, right? It's just that we don't have a single letter for this. We've already used up all our diphthongs. So R, R, R. Get it? Let me show you an example. Say if I have the word, very common word, kr. Kr means to do, right? The word karma comes from that. Karma. This is an affix. Do you see how the r has become r? Karr. R. Karr. Also, if I was just to say, if I was to make this into a verb, it takes guna, karoti. He does, he or she does. The r, ar, becomes ar. Re, ar. There's another word that means a cause. Karanam. Riddhi. It's riddhi. There's another word, karanam. That means an instrument, like the sense organs are an instrument mm-hmm. of seeing. Karanam, karanam, karoti. But what about this? Past passive participle doesn't take guna. Takes the ta effect. Krita. Mm-hmm. See? Krita means is done. And there's that past passive participle has an ikta. That kind of tells no guna or vritti. Okay? I'll tell you that sutra later to state my word for it for now. So these families, that's why guna and vritti and memorizing has to be second nature. So that if you see an I goes back to E, A goes back to E, you can always get back to the root that way. And you see them as related. And what's one of the great things about learning punini is that when you learn an affix, once you learn the rules of applying that affix and what it means, you can apply it to any noun. So now your vocabulary has just increased, you know, millionfold. Whatever your, how many roots you know? Now you know the roots plus what happens when that affix is added. Mm-hmm. See, and so say you knew 10 roots, now you know 20 words. Now if you know how to, what this unna affix is, now you know 30 words because you know how to apply it. Right? If you know the affix that would make kara, guna, kara, now you know 40 words because these affixes, mm-hmm. once you know the rule, will apply to every single verb. So you just, that's why punini is so valuable. You learn these, say you learn 10 affixes, 10 of the most common affixes, pratyas, you know how to apply them, then you know 10 times 10 is 100 words. So if you have 10 roots, you know 10 affixes, now you have 100 words, mm-hmm. just like that. So that's what we'll get there. It's wonderful because in Sanskrit, there's so many words. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many words. But actually, if you know how to break a word, how to take a word back to its simple vowel, to its root, and you know the affixes, plus these little it letters, an it letter, or what we also call an anubandha, tells me something special. Like, say if I say a ka, see the ka as an it letter added on to the affix, that tells me, okay, I don't give guna and vritti to this ta. See what I'm saying? So it'll be useful for you.
So there is a payoff.
There's a huge payoff. Plus just the joy of the brilliance of punini. Punini is, you know,
it's amazing.
It's so beautiful. Besides Vedanta, this is my Ananda, source of Ananda in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've done the guna vritti. I want to show you a couple of more sutras that will be helpful just in terms of definition. Okay, so let's go to number 4. Halaha, vibrate to Sandhi. This is hello, hello, nantaraha, samyogaha. Okay? Halaha, and if I break the Sandhi, where do you see where it says padani? Mm-hmm. Halaha. This is all Sandhi. The O becomes back to Visarga. Some of you haven't learned this yet. This avagraha goes back to the and then the next word is samyogaha. The word samyoga is the word we use for a conjunct consonant. For a conjunct consonant, samyoga. Okay, now, hull. The word hal is a pratyahara. What does this pratyahara mean? It can mean two things. Hal.
Just
Just ha.
Or?
Semi-vowel, then ha.
Consonants, oh, right?
Starting.
Yeah.
So everything but vowels and diphthongs.
Everything but the vowels. If you say vowels, vowels itself includes simple vowels and diphthongs. So everything except uk, uch. Everything except uch. Uch is a e um r l e k a on I ouch uch. So everything except the vowels is denoted by this pratyahara ho. Okay? And this happens to be in the nominative plural, first case, nominative plural. So what does it mean? Holaha means consonants. Holaha means consonants, nominative plural. So consonants which are anantaraha. This is in, from the word anantara, is in the nominative plural.
It's plural.
Anantaraha, like ramaha.
But halaha is
because
also.
Hal, right?
Yeah.
Hal,
It doesn't have to be hala.
No, it's not like Rama. It's like a consonant ending. Hal, halau, halaha. It's a consonant ending declension. So the nominative would be hal.
Right. Oh.
Dual would be halau.
Mm-hmm.
The plural would be halaha.
Okay.
Okay? Is al us.
Right.
The is will drop because conjunct consonant. So hal,
okay.
Halau, halaha. Antara. Antaraha, like Rama.
Right.
Antarao. Right? Antaraha. Antarao. Antaraha. Nominative plural.
Oh, I see. Because hal is consonant because it has a halant. I see.
Yeah.
As opposed to hala.
Okay. Consonants, which are anantaraha. Antara means there's a space. Anantara, there's no space between them. They're right next to each other. They are called samyoga, a conjunct consonant. When two consonants come right together, two consonants come together, they're called samyoga. Okay? Halaha, consonants, which are anantaraha, there's no space in between them, no vowels, nothing in between them. They are samyoga. They are conjoined. So remember when you've learned conjunct consonants? Remember conjunct consonants?
Mm-hmm.
So let me give you an example. If I have, for instance, what's the really? If I have the letter ta coming together with a pa, and there's nothing intervening, that makes a conjunct consonant. And that would look like this. Where this consciousness will lose its vertical. So when two consonants come together with nothing intervening in between, anantaraha. Consonants with nothing intervening, they're side by side, no vowel intervening, those are called samyoga. They form a conjunct consonant.
Could you write it like it is in this script, or just stacked? You know how it is in this font? In this font? Pata, it's stacked up one right on top of the other.
No, panta one, it would look like this.
Really?
But if I did like this, say if I had the letter ta plus this. This is a stack.
Okay.
Plus ta, double ta, okay?
Yeah.
Ta, ta. That would go like this. That's a stack.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the letter na, this is also a common one, and ka. Nga and ka, that's a stack. Nga, ka. Nga. But notice there's nothing in between. There's no vowel in between. So remember when you learn the alphabet, you first you learn just all of the letters, right? A, a, e, e, u, u, then ka, ka, ga, ga, na. You just learn all of the letters. After you've learned all of the letters, then you get stuck with all these conjunct consonants. What happens in a word when two consonants come together? Let me give you another example for just to be really complete. In English, I'm going to give an example. Okay? If I have the word, what's the little thing for the ganga? Yeah. Ganga. Ganga, the Ganga. Ready to see this?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the conjunct consonant?
Mm-hmm.
Because here you have two consonants coming right together. What if I have this word? Karma. Where's the conjunct consonant? Right? That's a conjunct. So the word for, in Sanskrit, the word for a conjunct consonant is samyoga. Okay. Everybody see it? So like if I were to write this now in Sanskrit, it would be...
I thought samyoga was a Vedanta term.
It is. But it's, we're using it differently.
Oh. Yeah.
Good for you.
What's that term?
Ganga.
Yeah.
Huh? Samyoga also means two things coming together.
Yeah.
It's a yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're talking more about objects. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the relationship? What is the samyoga between two things? Mm-hmm. Is there a samyoga? Is there some way they're connected to one other, to each other? So it's a technical term. In fact, in the Hastamalika, we're going to just now be getting into that.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, let's write this. Ga, na, ganga. You see how...
I've never seen that. Only ever seen it with the bindi, with the.
Oh yeah. Sometimes if it's a nasal, you see it with a dot. Mm-hmm. This is Ganga. How about this? Ka. With the otter. Mm-hmm. If the otter is the first member of a conjunct, it goes around. Kar ma. Here, these two are right together, right? So that's a samyoga. Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm.
So what do I have? Con. This is from this Vasu. Translation, consonants unseparated by a vowel are called conjunct consonants. Conjunct consonants is the translation of samyoga. Okay? We're going to finish these two off, these next two, and then the next half of the class we're going to work on Sunday rules, okay? I want to be able to use these technical terms with you and refer you back to them. Let's look at number five. Mukha. Everybody with that on number five? Mukha, nasika, vachano, nunasikaha. Mukha means the mouth. Nasika means the nose. Vachana means the speech. Pronounce the word, that speech, saying, the sound. So, mukha, nasika, vachano. I'm going to break the sandhi here. Okay. If you look at the padani, you can see the sandhi. Mukha, nasika, vachanaha, anunasikaha. Anunasikaha. The nose, the mouth, the mukha, the nasika, the nose, nasal. So the mouth plus the nose together, the vachana, saying. Vachana means just that word that's pronounced. The vachana is the speech, the saying of something. The vachana, so it's the actual saying of the word. When the mouth and the nose are combined, that's called anunasika, okay? So let me give you why this is important. If we're looking at letters that are considered savarna, or homogeneous letters, there's the, I'll give you the definition of savarna in a minute. Say you have a, and pluta. Okay? A, pluta. There's also an anunasika form for that that's considered homogeneous. This is a. This is a. Like gung. Like if you say ganga. So that nasalization. Nasalizes it. Okay? So now look at this. This is why this is important. When you're looking at what letters that are Savarna. Savarna means if I don't put a ta on it, every single one of these is us is included. If I don't put a ta on this, all of these are included. But not only these, there's going to be 18 forms of them. Right? You remember that? Mm-hmm. So not only are these going to be there, I'm not going to write them all out, but just to kind of show you. I'll show you for this one. Okay, these two. This is Anudatta. The tones. Remember when we're learning chanting? Peter, you remember when we say we'll have the Swadita? And then we'll have something. Sometimes there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's a line underneath.
Yeah.
This is called Anudatta. This is called Udatta. This is called Swadita. That's the technical name for that. If I say, if I just write this letter A without a ta, every single one, A, 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 with an Anudatta version, an Udatta version, and a Swadita version, that would be 9. See that? If I take this as the Anudatta, now we've got 6. Then you do the, we've got 3. Now we take this away, we've got the Udatta, we've got 6. You add this, then we've got 9. See how that would be if I add them all up? Then you have to do the same for this. This has an Udatta form, an Udatta form, a Swadita form. So each one of these has 3 forms. Mm-hmm. So this would be 3 times 3. This would be 3 times 3 is 18. So if you just say the letter A without a takara, it stands for all 18 forms. Mm-hmm. And this is called Anunasika.
Which one is
it? When you nasalize, a vowel, only vowels are nasalized, right, not consonants. So it has to be like, say, if I say like this. This is the letter G. What I'm nasalizing there is the U. Gung. Gung. Right? You see? So this is just, remember in Panini in the sutras, absolutely everything has to be defined.
So it's only Anunasika, so only nasalized vowels, not nasalized? Consonants
are never nasalized. It's only the vowel that's added to. See, like if I say this, this plus a equals ga.
Right.
So this has an a on it.
Okay.
I couldn't go like this.
Right.
So it's not talking about na, 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 ma.
The 5 nasal consonants.
No, it's not. But it's just talking about the nasalized vowel, the nasalization of the vowel. Mm. Yeah.
So the Anunasika is a different sound than Anuswara?
Now we'll get into that. It's a good question. The Anuswara is an Anunasika, symbol for Anunasika. But this Anuswara is going to change. In its usage, its pronunciation is going to change depending on what follows it. So it's actually going to come as a result of Sandhi. Mm-hmm. Right, so we'll get into that. For now, these are good questions. I can't answer them completely because I don't have enough depth myself, but we'll find out as we go along. Okay, so now just take it for nasalization. Okay? So mukha, nasika, vachanaha, anunasika. Just definition of nasalization. Saying with them both, when you're pronouncing something that requires both the mouth and the nose, that is called anunasika.
Which means nasalized.
Yeah. So how does they say that which is pronounced by the nose along with the mouth is called anunasika or nasal?
Okay. Nasalized vowel, you could say.
Well, just keep the translation that they have. Yeah. Can I erase this? We're going to do one more, then we'll take a break and get into Sandeep's. Tu yasya prayatnam. Prayatnam. I should use the dot. This one. Prayatnam. Savaranam. This is just another technical term that I'm going to be using. So I have this. Tulya. So Tulya. Look at the Padani. Tulya, Asya, Priyatnam, Savaranam. Everybody see?
Mm-hmm.
Savaranam.
Mm-hmm.
Now this one, Tulya means the same.
Oh.
Okay? Tulya, the word Tulya means the same. Asya, the word Asya is the same as Stan. It means the place of pronunciation. The Asya equals Stanam. The place of pronunciations. For example, the letter ka is guttural.
Mm.
Right? And the letter a is guttural. Remember all the gutturals? The a vowel is guttural. And then ka, ka, ga, ga, nga, ha. These are your gutturals. That's the Asya. So the place of pronunciation. Guttural, palatal, lingual, dental, labial. Those are called, so the place of pronunciation is the Asya. The Prayatna is the effort. And you've learned the Abhyantara, the inner effort and the outer effort. Right? So those, Peter, you don't know these at all. But it doesn't make any difference. Let me just explain it to you. Like, for instance, the vowels are, if you remember, Vivarana, I think, or Vivrata, that's a, Vivrata means the same. Vivrata means open, open pronunciation, right? The sibilants, the S sounds, are Ishat, Ishat Vivrata, partially open. Partially open. Okay? Ishad, I think it's long. Ishad Vivrata.
It's short E.
Or is it?
Okay. On the chart it is. I don't know
if
it's
no,
hard.
I don't know. It's long.
Long. It's long. Yeah.
One more chart.
This is the one that he gave us.
Okay, we'll look it up. I never remember that piece. Okay. Semivowels. Semivowels are what? Semivowels are Ishad. Ishat Srishta. Partly closed.
You know, I think rather than place of pronunciation, I understood it more plainly to be the degree to which the contact is made between the articulation.
That's Prayatna.
Oh.
Asya is the place.
Oh.
Okay, so the Asya, remember when you learned the chart? The place of pronunciation, whether it's a guttural or palatal, lingual, dental or labial. That's the Asya. That's the place of pronunciation. The Prayatna, the inner effort, has to do with contact. So, well, I could say here, partial contact, slight contact, slight contact. And then mutes. Right, the mutes?
Sprishta.
Sprishta. Remember these?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Eventually you memorize these. It's not a big deal. Full contact. And that's why the mutes, the ku group, ka, ka, ga, ka, na, you can't pronounce them without a vowel because they're sprishta, there's a full contact. Whereas the semi-vowels, you know, ya, ra, la, va, these semi-vowels have partial contact, you know. They're also hard to pronounce without a vowel, but they don't close completely. Whereas the sibilants, sh, sh, s, right, and ha, actually, have, they are partially open. Like if you say, sh, sh, you can do something with it, you know. But the vowels are completely open. Ah, ooh. So these are called vivrata, ishat, sprishta, and sprishta. These are called, these are the Abhyantara Prayatna, the inner effort. Usually what Swami Brahma Prakashananda told me is when we do, when we're talking, when Panini is using the word Prayatna in his sutras, he's always talking about Abhyantara, the inner effort, which are these. There's the Bahya Prayatna also, but he will usually distinguish that. So if you just see Prayatna in the verse, inner. It means internal effort. So now look at what, understanding that, look at what this says. Tulya, the same. If the asya, if the place, like guttural palatal, and the prayatna are the same, that type of letter is called savarna. That's its term, savarna. So let's see how this, how he says, those whose place of utterance and effort are equal, means
what,
it should use the same.
Mean, though, because there are two different categorizations.
Let me show you, let me give you an example, okay? It says, when both the asya and the prayatna are the same, use equal, he may have equal, but it's Indian English. Mm-hmm. It means the same, okay? That is technically called savarna. Savarna, okay? Let me give you an example. If I take the letter A, if I take the letter A, what's the asya for A? Guttural, kanta, guttural, okay? What's the prayatna? Vivrta. Okay. So all 18 forms of A will be savarna. Because every, whether I say this, 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 or if I say do the nasalization, or if I do the anudata, udata, and swarita, right? All of these forms, every one of these forms will be, have the same asya and the same prayatna.
So the asya is guttural and
right.
The prayatna is vivrta. So why is vivrta equal to guttural?
That's not what it's saying. It's saying, that's a good question. Let me explain it. This is what we call a bahuvrahi. So it means a letter for whom the prayatna and the asya are the same. In other words, this letter has this letter has the asya of guttural and the prayatna is avivrita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This letter also has the asya, it has the same asya, and it has the same prayatna.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
You got it?
Okay. Yeah.
So all 18 forms. So that's called, you know why I say 18 forms? Because you have to add udata, anudata, and the other. Okay? So for that, there's a technical term called savarna. And we're going to do Sundays be using this term, savarna. Do you understand it?
So the placement and the effort are the same.
Yep. A letter whose placement and effort are the same as another letter, those two letters are savarna. So if I said, is this letter a savarna with this letter, e? No. It's not, because the prayatna is the same, they're both vivrita, but the asya is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
This asya is guttural, this asya is palatal.
But then ka and ka.
That's right.
Well,
now look at this. But ka, 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 ga, ka, and la. These, all of these are savarna. Because even though there's different external effort, they're only talking about internal. When they use prayatna, it's only internal effort. So this is going to be guttural. All of these are guttural letters, and all of them are what? Sprishta. Sprishta. Internal, but the sprishta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then ishat sprishta, vivrita, ishat vivrita. We're going to take a break now. Let's take a break.
It's time for corn.
Yeah.